Welcome back. Tell me about what made that, what went into this decision.
Honestly, it was honestly like my, I talked to my dad about this decision, mm-hmm. and he said he couldn't answer for me, but he said, ask yourself these two questions. He said, one, are you ready? And two, are you, is this an opportunity ever going to happen again? Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many teams in the hockey world, like how many it is that you get to come back to where, you know, that started everything and meant a lot. And Saskatoon's always meant, like, you know, the world to me. And I've traveled so many places, but Saskatoon's always been home. And anytime I can come back and be a Blade at any capacity, you know, I'll jump at that opportunity.
You mentioned it in your comments to everybody in general. You came here a boy, you left a man. And I think that's really something that resonates for a lot of guys, not just yourself, but for a lot of guys. And it draws you back to those communities as a result, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, not to sound like nostalgic, and you know, but there's, I learned about, you know, like I left here probably a little cocky and, you know, a little confident being a draft pick. But, you know, my life experience is, you know, it's humbled me, you know. So just to come back and, you know, help, you know, anybody in this dressing room and doing what I can out in the community. But I don't know, Saskatoon has always been home for me, and the community has always been so welcoming. It's hard to find that in the world. And again, you know, I want to win. Mm-hmm. Eventually, like, that's the bottom line, and the Blades want to win. They're an up-and-coming, you know, the longest tradition in junior, but they're almost, like, kind of, you know, they're forming their own identity, like, separating from, you know, like, the old guard. And, you know, I would like to be a part of that.
Well, you see, what do you know about this team?
There's some good young guys coming back. I know Krinkovic a bit, you know, coming from the same area, just speaking with some guys. You know, he's a very talented player. Obviously really tough when your starting goalie moves on, that, you know, but that's an opportunity for somebody else, and that's junior hockey. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there's, I don't know what the expectations are, but I know that, you know, the expectations are high. So
the transition from playing to coaching, this is new for you. What's that going to be like? What strengths are you going to bring, and what do you have to learn in order to be an effective coach?
Well, number one, it's not about me. You know, it's about the talent on ice. And mm-hmm. Again, you got to prove to these young men that, you know, you're, number one sole thing is to work on their development, and you got to earn their trust. And after that is, and that's communication, and that's actually showing you care. And, you know, I love the game of hockey. I love being a Saskatoon Blade, and, you know, I'll do whatever I can with my life experiences and my communication skills to make sure that, you know, every time they leave the rink, they got a little bit better from that day by working with me and working with Brennan and working with Dan.
What will your role be then with the Blades? You know, specifically, I guess, what you'll be looking after?
We haven't really touched on that. I think, you know, Brennan will ultimately decide what I want to do, and whatever he does, you know, I'm there supporting him, and I got his back. And, you know, with Dan, both of us just not to being so, you know, too far removed from a dressing room, I think they'll rely on that, especially with the players. And honestly, you know, I'm just, you know, looking forward, you know, once the marching details come forward, then I'll be take off from the ground running.
And once you left Saskatoon, turned into kind of a globe-trotting kind of career, right? You were all over North America and then around the world. Did you see that kind of future coming for you when you were playing here in Saskatoon? Did you know that this is, you know, how your life would go?
No. You know, when I got drafted by the Bruins, the ultimate goal for any hockey player is to play in the NHL. By about 25, I realized that probably wasn't going to happen. So, you know, I used my career as a vehicle. I got to travel around the world, experience different cultures, you know, gained a lot of life experience along the way. And, you know, I think that's, I had those experiences so that I could become a coach. You know, I've been through the ups and downs. I've been told no more than I've been told yes. And, you know, that's a big part of being a hockey player and getting to that next level, whether these players go on to play in the NHL or, you know, if whatever their profession is, we want them to make sure that they're ready for that. And, you know, once they leave these rooms, that they're good human beings and they're contributing members of the community.
When you realized that the NHL wasn't in your future, was there a decision that had to be made at that point, whether you continue playing or whether you move into other areas of life?
Yeah, there's always that, you know, you're told that it's going to be over. So when, you know, that realization came, I did want to see the world, you know, to actually, like, I lived in Japan and I got to actually experience the culture there for 8 to 9 months and, you know, learn a bit of the language. So, you know, that probably won't ever happen again, like knock on wood, but, you know, it's at that point I kind of knew that was kind of the end of the road, and I just wanted to get the most out of my playing career at the same time, get some life experience.
Why have you made hockey such a big part of your life? You know, what is it about hockey that's drawing you to it, the way it is?
You know, hockey's gave me everything. You know, it's given me a lot of inspiration, and, you know, for myself, I was 5 years old when I watched Shane Peacock be the captain of the Lethbridge Hurricanes, and I saw myself in him. And now hopefully a young Indigenous, whether it's male or female, that wants to get into any field, you know, they feel comfortable walking through those doors. And now I'm in the coaching world, and, you know, Ted Nolan was a big role model, and he was the first NHL coach that was Indigenous. You know, I would like to be that, you know, eventually one day. But I think it's representation matters, and Saskatoon has a high Indigenous population, and, you know, we're going to be stepping into that. And, you know, I want to make sure that when kids come to the games, or if they see me on the bench, that they feel that they see themselves in me.
So Indigenous outreach will be something that you'll be doing here in Saskatoon?
It's always something I've done.
Yeah.
My home is, whether it's in Treaty 7, Treaty 6, or Treaty 8, you know, I'm always, you know, making sure that if I do visit these communities, that, you know, it's home, you know. This is our land, and this is where we come from, and it's important that, you know, we give back, but, you know, that these are my people, and, you know, I'm home, so this is where I feel comfortable.
Wait, so are you heartened with the progress that's being made towards that kind of inclusivity in our society, and especially what you've been able to experience in the course of your career?
First off, it's good to see you again, Les.
Good to see you too, Lacey.
Yeah, you know, everything's so, like, dialed in now with social media. You know, when I was a kid, that, you know, it was in grade 2, someone told me I didn't belong. Now you just have to log on to your phone. So it's important that for a young Indigenous, you know, our youth feel empowered. And, you know, there's so many of our young men and women breaking barriers today. And I think that's, you know, whether it's on purpose or, you know, with help along the way, that, you know, we need each other and we need to support each other. And that's something that I really believe in.
Who were your billets 16, 17 years ago when you played? And have you contacted them since you've gotten this job?
Oh, you put me on the spot. Dave and Lynn Crawford, and I'll be reaching that out to them. And hopefully she's a really good cook still, because no, I'll be reaching out to them, and I do miss them. And I think Ashley will be giving them some grief, because she's the reason why I'm not a very good cook, because she she cooked every single meal, whether I was hungry or not. She had some, and I had great memories there.
Good stuff. Now, I have one question, because you're a great storyteller, and you played with the Bruins, and one of the great clips that came out of the Providence Bruins was the great goaltender, Tuukka Rask, absolutely going berserk and losing it, smashing his goal stick after a game. Weren't you there and not too terribly close by?
Yeah, I was the one that calmed him down, and then he hawked the whatever he hawked. You know, I just turtlehead and put my head down, because it was about to be decapitated. And there's a reason why Tuukka won so much with the Bruins, and because he's passionate. And that's something that, you know, I'll be bringing to the Blades, is that passion to win, and, you know, passion to just to be better on and off the ice.
So your goal, from what you were saying, you want to coach as far as you can go, right? Like, you'd like to be in the NHL as a coach today, kind of thing. That's it, yeah.
You set goals to reach the highest pinnacle, and the NHL is the highest pinnacle. You know, that for me, that dream never goes away, whether I'm a hockey player or a coach or in any other life. If, you know, I was a teacher, I'd want to be the best teacher. So that's, you know, you don't stop setting goals, and that's something I've done since I was a kid, and I'll continue to do that and share that when I have kids.